Beats. Good, bad, and ugly on a Monday. Recapping your weekend. What was good, what was bad, what was ugly. The weather, not great, and continues to be ugly into today. So there's still flash flood watches out there. Streets are kind of a mess. Just be careful. Take it easy. As I said earlier, Lionel Richie announced he's coming back on tour. Just think Lionel Richie. Easy like Monday morning. Just take it easy on the roads.
Yeah, you know, there's no reason to rush anywhere anyway.
We do have these bad combinations when the rain's like this, and then some people go 40 miles an hour on the highway, and others are trying to go 80 miles an hour on the highway. It is a bad mix, but just take it easy. Take it easy.
Absolutely, man.
Throw that song on. That's what I do when that song comes on. Just take it easy. It's hard not to get relaxed when Lionel starts singing.
I would agree with that.
Easy like Sunday morning. But it is a Monday morning, and we're recapping the weekend, and there was plenty of highlights, including the Texas women's tennis team winning the national championship. Congratulations to Coach Howard Joffe and his group. That's pretty awesome. I mean, the national title. We saw Eddie Reese do it in swimming again. But natties are hard. You know, winning is hard. Tom Herman taught us.
Well, winning is hard, period.
Winning natties is really hard.
It certainly is. And winning baseball championships should be yours and not to be shared with anybody else. That's even harder. But hey, somehow you got to share it.
Got to share it. Well, because it's the conference's rule, co-champions. They don't. You
know, bad rule.
Conference co-champs.
You're allowed to change rules.
But TCU in their locker room, they know who the champs are. They lost 2 out of 3 head-to-head with Texas.
Wouldn't you know that?
Sure.
Wouldn't you feel that? If you're on the other end of that?
How did you do that?
I don't get it.
We'll see. I mentioned this earlier, but I think what we saw yesterday at Texas A&M with Texas A&M firing their baseball coach, Rob Childress, long time. He's been there for 16 years. But I think you're going to see some. It'll be interesting this offseason when they finally get to the offseason. I think the TCU head coach, Jim Schlossnagel, is going to be in demand, and I think Tim Tadlock at Texas Tech is going to be in demand. And there are big programs in the SEC looking to make a change. The Aggies already made one. I'm here in LSU. Might be looking with Paul Menary. We'll see. But keep an eye on that from the college baseball scene. We also have, you know what else is hard to do? Win majors.
It really is. That's hard to do. And it's going to be exciting to see Phil in the next major and see what Coach Pels has said. Is this a continuing thing? And, you know, it's hard to win your first NBA game like the New York Knicks. You know, I mean, it's jammed up in there. Everybody's excited in New York. You got 15,000. And then you let that little guy come through the lane in the playoffs.
Trae Young.
He just shook one guy, and the other guy's there. You got to body slam that guy. You know what I'm saying?
We are the New York Knicks.
That's right. We are the New York Knicks. That's right. We're back. Not really. Game one, Atlanta.
Go New York, go New York, go.
Come on, Zay. That's our sound right there.
Go New York, go New York, go.
We got beat by the Hawks.
Yeah, that's enough.
Game one.
Boo Knicks. But Trae Young, the second player in NBA history with 30 points, 10 assists, 5 rebounds in his postseason debut. The other player to do that?
LeBron James.
LeBron, I'm hurt.
That's where he's at.
Arm.
I also saw where Trae Young is the first player in his first ever postseason game to post a 30-10 game, 30 and then 10 double-double. He joins LeBron, Jordan, and a guy named Lou Alcindor. That's pretty rarefied air for my guy Trae Young.
They should have snatched that guy by the jersey right there, right? He has to make free throws there. He can't go layup, right?
Yeah, and isn't Oklahoma supposed to be a football school, man? This makes me so mad. This makes me so mad. Like, he's from Norman. Like, his dad, who's an absolute loon, he's from Norman and said, you know what? It's a good idea to raise my kid here. Somehow, in the football town that is, he ends up being a top 10 point guard.
Can't let him come through the lane like that. He's got to go down to the ground.
Listen, Zay, we learned with the Michael Griffin grudge that Zay will hold a grudge.
Zay can hold a grudge now. He don't play
anybody
around.
That went to Westlake, Zay's got a grudge with because of Bowie Bulldog. Anybody that went to Oklahoma, grudge.
Yeah, man.
Grudge. Never
can't
forgiven.
Can't do it.
Yeah, man. Now Brooks Koepka's got a grudge. He's mad at all the fans.
My knee.
Yeah. Phil Mickelson, by the way, as we said, now he's one of, how about this? He's one of 4 golfers now on the history of the tour to win in 4 different decades.
Yep.
Joining Sam Snead, Raymond Floyd, and Davis Love III. That's
I'm
pretty
drinking
badass.
A lot of coffee from this point on because I want to be a winner again.
Let's hear one more time that, and then we'll talk to Rodney Rodriguez. This was classic. This is like to win this thing, but then to put this video out before your Sunday round when you're walking to go get ready, go warm up from your car. Here's Phil Mickelson's Sunday strategy on his social media platforms.
Today's formula for victory is going to be C squared equals B plus HS equals I and V. What does that mean? Well, C squared is coffee. You couple that with calves, and you have exponential performance. That equals B plus HS, which is bombs and hellacious C's, which equals I and V. Intimidation in victory.
Such a goof, man.
Man, that is goofy.
But that's a glimpse for me of how he won. We just heard from Dave Pels, his short game coach for 15 years, talking about the process. This has been a three-year process to get his body right, his mind right, get his game right, change his swing. And, you know, for Dave, this was the culmination and the beginning of a Mickelson run at 50. That he thinks the next 3 years he's going to, because as Dave Pels told us last hour, if he's in the fairway, no one can beat him. And he was in the fairway, and no one could beat him most of the time. But we'll see. Torrey Pines, his hometown of San Diego, is the next major in 1 month. Let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline. Among the other highlights of a good, bad, and ugly weekend was the NASCAR debut at Circuit of the Americas, the Texas Grand Prix. They had the truck race, the Xfinity race, and our man Rodney Rodriguez was all over it with extended coverage all weekend long. Brought to you by AMM Collision and Busch Light. Rodney, have you dried out yet, my friend?
Yeah, you know, right about the time I dried out, I had to go out again this morning. It's like, come on, man, for crying out loud. Or I felt like just driving Dakota.
Yeah, man. Well, how was it? You've been to many NASCAR events. This was the first at COTA. How did we do?
I got to tell you, man, I don't know, guys, if this was a combination of people just wanting to get out or what it was, because this literally was the perfect storm. That place, I've never seen that place packed like that. And for the conditions that we had, nobody would leave. It rained most of yesterday during that race, and I was on pit road the entire race, and the stands stayed full. They were cheering, booing Kyle Busch. I mean, it was, you'd have thought that NASCAR had a footprint here for 15 years with what I saw this weekend. It was tremendous in horrible conditions.
Yeah.
So, Rodney, are you thinking that maybe NASCAR will have a footprint for here to, I mean, in the future here, after what you saw, even in the rain?
I got to tell you, Buck, I was talking to a NASCAR official, pretty high-ranking NASCAR official, on the way back to the parking lot last night, and I said, so do you think you're coming back? And he looked at me with this look on his face, pretty much saying, are you stupid? He said, did you see this crowd? He said, did you see this reception? He said, I can't tell you anything official, but I would bet that we're back. And I was talking to him about weather, because it's such a catch-22, because you can't do this in July. It's way too hot.
Right.
You can't do it in March. It's cold. It's wet. This is really the opportune time to do it. And the caveat to all of this weekend was NASCAR actually got to develop a little bit of a rain package, because there's been times where they've had to run on some of the combination oval road courses with rain tires, but never on a true road course with a rain tire the entire duration of the race.
Yeah, and let's hope. I mean, I think it would be great if it gets put on the calendar here in May, year by year, but we know May is a rainy month in Austin. You've got to cross your fingers. But it was a great reception. And it was all weekend, Rodney. It wasn't just yesterday. I mean, the truck race, the Xfinity race, everything that went on Saturday, packed. I mean, the fans were out. This is, you've been saying it forever on Revved Up ATX, that Austin is a racing town. It's going to continue to be one. And it showed out again this weekend.
I couldn't believe Friday. Honestly, when we got out there Friday and I looked along the front grandstand, and again, in drizzly conditions most of the afternoon, it wasn't max capacity like it was yesterday, but I would say that front main grandstand into turn number one was 60%, and that's on a day where you had just a couple of practices, not really a bunch of on track activity. But that's why I'm thinking that I think the timing of this was really good for the entire presentation, because people are able to get out now, and this is really the first opportunity for a sporting event around here where folks have been able to go and have the tailgating experience and go and have the, you know, hanging out with friends experience and everything. It was very much a game day atmosphere out there yesterday. And I think the timing of it, I think when we look back at this, you know, 5 or 10 years down the road, the evolution of NASCAR into Austin, we're going to pinpoint it coming out of a pandemic, that the timing was just perfect to stamp this as a traditional event.
Ronnie, how did the two things? How did the track hold up? And do you think you saw a lot of first timers to a NASCAR event here in our, obviously in our area, of folks that will go up to Fort Worth and see it, but like new to this to NASCAR itself?
Yeah, the track did really well. The track did everything that it was supposed to do. They did a really good job getting that transformed. That's one of the things we talked about all weekend, how they transformed that out of a European, setting for race timing and so forth into what we do here in North America. The track did great. I want folks to think about something today. When you're out on the highway and you're driving 50 miles per hour and you can't see past your front hood right there, and some knucklehead slams on the brakes in front of you, try that at 180. Mm-hmm. That's what was happening yesterday. Everything that happened on the track, it was not anything, that the track did or didn't do. It was just, I tweeted out several times. I'm like, we don't need to be doing this. Everything that happened yesterday was just terrible weather. And your other question, Bucky, there were so many, you could see that the first timers were easy to spot. I saw a lot of folks that were dressed like they were going to a Kentucky Derby party or something. And that's fine. And that's totally fine. I mean, we'll take them. We'll get them yeah, picked out. I'm sure they checked out the fan zone and all of that stuff over there. But it was easy to spot the newcomers. But and I'll tell you one thing: the moment that really gave me chills this weekend was when they introduced Kyle Busch on Saturday was, and that wasn't the day of max capacity. The booing. It was like, my goodness, man, I underestimated the knowledge of NASCAR fans in this town.
Right.
They must listen to Revved Up ATX or something.
There you go.
They knew what was going on.
Yeah, they got the horn app, and I'm sure they came from all parts of Texas to be a part of that yesterday, which is great. It's an easy spot to get to if you're coming from, Houston or San Antonio or Austin and parts in between. That was cool. Rodney, great work this weekend. I know it was wet, but I know that's your element too. But to be out there Friday and do great coverage on Saturday and Sunday on Revved Up ATX, help grow that show. And thanks to AMM Collision and our partners. But great work by you and Stu and your co-hosts there, doing a great job.
Absolutely, man. Appreciate it, guys. Everybody stay dry. Be safe out there. And don't go 180.
No.
Dakota,
no.
Don't try to do what those guys were doing yesterday.
Thank you, Ronnie.
Yes, that is well said. But good for NASCAR. Huge crowds. The footprint is established, and they'll be back. They will be back, and that was cool. I talked
That's
to a bunch
cool.
of my buddies.
They had their Kentucky Derby gear on.
I had a chance to go, and I will admit that I wimped out because it was two things. I didn't really want to go sit in the rain all day, but at the same time, there was so much on. I wanted to watch hole by hole with the PGA.
Well, of course you did.
I wanted to watch. So at home, I could watch everything. I could keep up with the race and not be soaking wet. But I did want to get out and check that atmosphere out. I will certainly do it next
time.
You're
a little soft. I
was a little soft yesterday.
Were you Koepka? Come on, Bruce.
I chose my man cave over soaking wet. Because I knew I didn't, I didn't like have, I'm pretty sure I didn't have access to like a dry area. You know what I'm saying? If I had like a sweet pass or something, I might have been up in there. But no, I'm just kidding.
Tough guys.
No.
Koepka and LeBron for the weekend.
And he sitting on this couch. Well, the next big thing will be F1, right? October, F1 will be here. I'll mention again, everybody has Netflix now. If you've been into F1, because one of the reasons I think NASCAR goes well here is people know NASCAR. They know the drivers. It's an American sport. It's hugely popular. People know who these guys are, the teams. Hendrick Motorsports is dominating.
And we only know one winner who comes here every year.
Oh, in F1?
Yeah.
Lewis Hamilton?
Yeah, your guy.
Well, I mean, the thing about F1 is it's such an international sport, and it's international racing. Netflix has a documentary called Formula One Drive to Survive. If you're planning on getting into NASCAR, getting into F1 and you love racing, I can't recommend that enough. If you get behind, because it'll take you behind the scenes on how these teams work, who the teams are, who the drivers are.
How much it costs to fly one of their deals in here by a big
plane? It's kind of like Hard Knocks for F1. If you like Hard Knocks on HBO with football, and you get to learn a team and the coaches and how it works, it's kind of the same thing for F1, and you go from – it's really good. And, boy, some of the camera shots you get of these F1 cars and the racing, and it's pretty good TV. And I think we're going to see that. Austin becoming a race town in addition to a soccer town, in addition to a football town. Come on. Baseball – Longhorns are feeling Omaha bound. If things go, can break their way as a Big 12 champion. Lots to like about Austin, Texas, right about this very second.
Absolutely. Just get rid of the rain. Let it go away. It's time.
Hey, Mr. Almanac, you said Wednesday?
I'm thinking Wednesday. Today and tomorrow, it's going to rain. There's some possibilities. This is a, when you say 40% chance, that's like it's not going to rain. So, but there's a 40% chance even on Wednesday. But from Thursday on, enjoy your wonderful holiday that's coming up.
Yeah, man, Memorial Day around the corner. That'll be coming up. This is Aaron James. Soft. It's true. I'm soft.
Kepka.
I don't know. I mean, I think we all felt that I needed to be at a television to watch Phil Mickelson. History, man. You don't see history. I know history was happening at CODA, but gosh, could 50-year-old Phil Mickelson.
Don't explain to these people. You're sounding like Kepka. You know, if my knee would have been better, I would have whipped Phil's ass.
Well,
if
Phil's
my knee
not yet 51, but he's closer to 51. He's 3 weeks to his birth. He's all the way through his 51st year. So I'm going to go 51.
Kepka, you got to putt first.
Yeah, he couldn't putt.
No.
But I needed to be at a TV to see this. I mean, and I'm glad I did. I'm glad I got to see that and then have to go back and watch it on record or hear about it later. I got to watch the reaction and the fans and Kepka being a grump. And
or you could have sucked it up and get out there in the rain and gone to CODA and
watched. Yeah, no.
You just put a little poncho on. Go out there, get wet, be with the rest of them because it's not like a bunch of them were out there, too.
It's packed, man. Packed house. No, that's cool. I think, and I'm glad they had it. Here's the guy says,
I wasn't going from the get. I was watching golf.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
This guy said, come with me. I was in the main grandstand undercover the whole time. See? There we go.
You know Budweiser has a suite up in there. You could have gone to the suite. You wanted to be at home. You wanted to relax. There's nothing wrong with that.
My wife and my daughter went shopping. I'm like,
by
I had the house.
No.
Yeah, it's great.
Oh. What would you want to be in the rain for?
Laying up watching hoops.
Tough guy.
Watching Trae Young.
LeBron Kepka.
Talking smack to There was some Trae Young, Spike Lee stuff going on yesterday. That was old school, like Reggie Miller, Spike Lee.
No, wasn't enough because that little dude should have been on the ground somewhere.
Well, you need someone to knock him down. That'll happen in game two.
You think? Oh, these guys are not going to put anybody on the ground. They're going to be afraid. They're going to fake fight. LeBron Kepka.
Aaron Rodgers, Hogan Jr.
Come on, man.
Well, you know what else? I mean, the story that came down over the weekend or on Friday with the Longhorn recruit, Jaden Blue, opting out of his senior year of high school.
I want to get that, but I'm having a hard time with that one.
Well, it's trickle down, and I think it's an unwise decision. You're still...
There's something more to this story. I know this just can't be the story. It's either at the high school level, there's something going on, but...
Gotta get Jeff Howe on this story, but he's over there recording the Longhorn Blitz.
I was never that good. I don't know anybody that good in this day and age who could just, you know, the quarterback that went to Clemson stayed that whole, just about the whole time, runs the ball, does stuff.
Talking about Trevor Lawrence?
Yeah, Trevor Lawrence. I mean, guys play their high school senior year.
It's hard for me to see that. They said it right, that this is more of a basketball move, that we've seen players opt out of, you know, their high school or move to a prep school to finish or to not play. So
does it not matter? Does a high school teammates don't matter?
If I'm the football coach, Steve Sarkisian, I would want him to play his senior year.
You can't say, I want you to do that and lose his scholarship either.
I think if you're Sark, you're in a weird spot because he's a four-star recruit. He's a good player. I think you would encourage all of your recruits to stay and play for their team, try to win a district championship.
99% of them
develop as a player under great coaches in the state of Texas. If you're Steve Sarkisian, you're going to get a guy that hadn't played.
And Zay says, you know,
those reps are important.
You take a lot of wear and tear as a running back, and especially in the state of Texas, they will drive you. They will can you the ball and hand you the ball, especially if you're a good runner.
Yeah, I mean, know the story of Keontae Ingram, right? He played at Carthage and came in and had like 450 touches the year before, and they're going to use you. They're going to wear you down, and I think that's the argument. But that's a bad precedent.
Kid went to Ohio State when he hurt his ankle in the first game.
Look, I know
J.K. Dobbins. That dude didn't play. He was done.
J.K. Dobbins. Well, he was at LaGrange. Yeah, he was the junior state player of the year.
Right.
Got hurt as a senior early, and then shut it down. And now he's in the National Football League, by the way, for the Baltimore Ravens.
That's what I mean.
After 3 quick years in Columbus. But then there's like a Sam Ehlinger, right, who – got hurt at Westlake, but came back. Got hurt again, came back. Got hurt and came back. And
there's a lot of people that do that. I mean, they come back for their senior.
To me, that's what you want to see. But, you know, because it's hypocritical at some level, because I argue for these guys when they opt out of bowl games that aren't, you know, the big ones. I argue if they're juniors and they want to go early, go get the money. But at the same time, you don't want to see this in high school. But the same people can say, well, what's the difference?
I know that it is. What's the difference? What if you're a great running back, Zay, and you've got a, then again, I don't know what a, you know, I've seen some great running backs, but maybe I have to watch more film to say that this guy should be skipping his senior year. Because to me, you need to let me see what you look like in your senior year.
Yeah. And be a leader of your team, lead your team to a district championship, those type of things.
Okay, play two games and then go Kepka.
I defend players who will opt out of bowl games that, I don't want to say they're meaningless, but they're just a bowl game. They were there. They led their team. They competed for championships. I get Sam Cosmi this year opting out, saying, you know what, I'm going to go get ready for the National Football League. I put in 4 years here, blood, sweat, and tears. I'm just not going to go risk one more game that could derail all of it. I get that, but an entire senior season, Zay, I know.
Yeah, and the coaching staff knew this. This is, I mean, somebody said, I'm sure Sark talked. Yes, of course he's talked to him. They knew this was going to happen.
Well, I would, if I was Sark, I would discourage it, but Zay, what do you think?
Yeah, this is a huge basketball move. Like, we've seen it with Andrew Wiggins when he went to Kansas. We've seen it with Devin Eskew, who went to Kentucky, and now he's transferring to, you know, the 40 acres. So, Buck, if Ricky Williams said, I'm not playing my senior season, I'm not comparing Ricky to Blue,
okay,
but if Ricky said that, what would you do?
If I would have seen the same tape I saw him as a junior and a senior, say a junior,
oh yeah,
I would have said, hey, what time will I pick you up at the airport?
You want to live at my house while you're not playing football this year?
If you're not going to play this year, you might as well live with me.
I get it. It's just, I think it's going to spark a trend, and that's going to be unfortunate for high school football.
Yeah, because it's going to go from a senior to when you offer a kid as a sophomore, you love him that much. You know, Manning's son, you know what I mean? Cooper's son, all that stuff. What if he says,
Arch?
Yeah. Oh, you know what? I don't think I'm going to go junior or senior year.
Yeah, but you're the coach. I mean, I think you need the NFL has devalued the running back position, so you're looking long term, but you still need those reps. You still need to learn to play the position. You're not close to a finished product yet.
Ricky didn't need any reps.
Well, then he had you coaching him, so you were able to.
No, that didn't help either.
Come
but
on,
I'm just
man.
Saying, I'm just saying.
Come on,
he,
man.
He didn't need any reps, so it's hard to say. You shouldn't do that. But this is the trickle down. It's going to continue. If you think that's going to happen just for seniors, there are going to be some great high schoolers that are juniors.
Oh boy.
I know. I don't like it, but I can't. It's hard to get mad at him because that's a decision he and his family. That wasn't the kid saying that. That was the kid and his mom.
Let me just ask
you
this, and we'll come
down.
Back and take some thoughts on it. Would it be mm-hmm. wrong of a coach like Steve Sarkisian to say, you know what? We're not taking kids that opt out of their senior year. I mean,
and I wouldn't be mad at that either. I would be like,
that's just
okay.
Going to be our policy. We're not doing that. Now, you're going to turn down some good players potentially if this becomes something that other people are doing. Because
I wouldn't be mad at the head coach for doing that. I'd be like, okay, that's what he wants to do.
It's just, you know, which age comes wisdom, hopefully. But how many football players or players have we talked about who said, you know, my favorite time of my career was high school? Playing with my guys.
A lot. Yeah,
playing
a
with
lot.
My guys. That was the most fun I ever had playing X sport. You know, these teams that are still playing in the high school baseball playoffs. And, you know, this is the best time. The good times are going to be there, but these are always going to be the best times. Playing with your guys in your neighborhood and trying to win.
And it's just hard for me to believe that these are financial decisions as a senior and a junior when this happens as juniors in high school. You know, but these same financial decisions by these players that play the game of football, nobody says anything about the tennis player. That
I know,
gets
I get
out
it.
There, you know what
well,
I mean?
Look, Jaden Blue, I think, is already planning on being an early enrollee, so it's really one semester of school. He's going to skip football, and he's going to enroll at Texas next January. So he's just getting ahead of the curve. We'll take your thoughts. It's a polarizing debate, I know, just like it is with the bowl game opt-outs and the season opt-outs, and now a high school player.
It's a different level now, though.
It certainly is. We'll be back. B&E, live, local, and digital.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Man, good show today. Appreciate everybody weighing in. It's a great Monday, man. Loaded with big stories. Phil Mickelson, the story in the sports world with his victory at 50, nearly 51 years old now. Pretty awesome. We had a good conversation with Dave Pels, his short game coach for years and years now. And you got to hear and learn that this has been a three-year process for Phil Mickelson. When you hear him talk about, you know, how hard he's worked on his body and on his mind and on his focus and on his golf game, Dave Pels gave you some behind-the-curtain thought on that, this was a swing change that he began 3 years ago with this as the goal, to be better off the tee, stay in the fairway, and then have this wicked short game that you saw all weekend. And Dave predicts that this is the first of a run for Phil. This is not just a one-off. This is how he's going to be, he believes. And that will include the Colonial this week, and then he's taking 2 weeks off, and then he'll be at the U.S. Open in his hometown of San Diego in 2 weeks beyond that. So Colonial, that's going to be a hot ticket this weekend up in the Metroplex.
Yeah, and one of the things to find that we found out is that the word Pels is not about a particular, it's not a gadget, it's not a wedge, it's not a TrackMan to find out distances. It's about the swing and where the swing is located. And
it's for his focus, right? It's to recalibrate in his brain. Okay, where are we doing here?
And you'll hear about it. You'll hear about it this weekend. They won't say anything this weekend about it when you hear them whisper
Dave's son Eddie texted me and said, you guys got the first interview. He's going to be on about 40 of these today. So
yeah.
Well, because, yeah, if you were watching the broadcast, you could hear Phil talking to his brother, who's his caddy.
18 times.
And they said the name Pels, and it's just a word register for him about where the arm slot is. It's a 90, it's like 9 o'clock on the clock for any of his irons or wedges, and that's the work he and Dave have been working on for years to get this thing sharp. So we'll see. And yeah, Dave Pels is the best.
And he sounds so strong. His voice sounded great.
It does. It absolutely does. We also heard from Rodney Rodriguez just now that even though it rained and they didn't finish the NASCAR race yesterday, but NASCAR is a go full bore here in Austin. It was tremendously well received. Huge crowds, huge energy. NASCAR, you know, as an industry, was all psyched to be in Austin. So that's cool to see. We also now know that Texas baseball are the Big 12 Conference co-champions. We're calling them the champions, though. And here's how this played out on Saturday. This was cool. So you had the women's tennis team winning the national championship earlier in the day in Orlando in that thriller of a final match with the two freshmen battling. Texas beat Pepperdine. So that was cool. You knew Texas baseball got pushed back because of weather, but they had a window, so they started late. But they also knew, hold on, we got commencement coming up tonight. We're going to have this on. So they were trying to jam a lot in. Well, so here's Texas. They're up 10-1 late in the game, the complete control of the game. They're going to win this game. There's no debate about that. You could tell West Virginia was ready to get on the bus and get the heck out of Austin. But so you were going to win the game. When was it going to end would be the question. What time? But so you're watching the scoreboard, and TCU, who you need to lose, is in control of their game in Manhattan, Kansas, over K-State. They're up 7-2. And looks like they're going to cruise to a victory. They're going to be the outright Big 12 champions, and you're going to have to settle for second place. Well, then, in the ninth inning, TCU needs three outs to end the game. Kansas State rallies for 8 runs in the ninth inning. 8, including this from one of their seniors to walk it off. Here we go.
Ceballos hits one deep to left. Back is Boyers, and it's gone!
There you go. That's the K-State call. Walk-off, dinger. Three-run shot, 11-8 final. TCU coughs up the lead. It was 8-3, I'm sorry, when that rally began. But crazy. So that happens, and Texas game's still in the seventh inning. And here's how the dish sounded on LHN. You have Keith Moreland and Greg Swindell calling the game when all of a sudden word spreads. You know, it's social media time. It doesn't take long for everybody to realize that K-State just won that game. Here's how it sounded at the dish and on LHN when Texas fans and the players found out that they have a chance to win the Big 12.
TCU has just fallen to Kansas State, and this crowd knows it.
That's pretty wild right there.
We'll give you the update and the final total shortly, but it's official.
And Texas went on to run rule West Virginia 12-2, and it was fitting that Zach Zubia, the senior, on senior day, whacked the game-winning hit that put it over to 10 runs, and they end up swarming him, and that was the ball game. That was awesome. So that's cool. Great day. Then they go to commencement, and graduates were graduating. I thought that scene was cool. They'd never had it in the football stadium before, but it looked good. If you're just watching on
LHN.
The
Frank Irwin Center.
Normally they do it. They set it up in front of the UT
lawn.
Tower on the lawn
on
there,
the lawn,
LBJ
right.
Lawn,
a lot
which
more
is a,
room there.
It's a good spot too. But the football stadium, I think they did it for the ability to spread people out.
True.
They're still trying to distance. But that's a keeper there. I mean, that was a keeper because the stadium looked great. They had these pyrotechnics, fireworks going up over the scoreboard.
Cool.
I'm sure that was a pretty cool experience for the graduates and their families to be a part of. So this says that was a 7-run ninth for Kansas. 7-run ninth? Okay. Well, I said eight.
Yeah, and please don't mistake us for getting on the kid. Nobody's getting on the kid.
Jaden Blue.
Yeah, they always say, why do you always get it? No, that's not true. That ain't true.
Well, I just
That's
think,
you saying
I think
that.
High school players.
We're just making opinions like we always do.
Well, every family and every player has to judge what's best for
right.
You know, what's best for you. I just
that was a family decision by he and his parents too.
Yeah, I hope it works out for him.
Well, yeah, he's coming to Texas. Yeah, I want it to work out. I want him to be an All-American, first team, Heisman Trophy winner, the whole works. I want everything to work out for every kid. But I think when you look at when people start saying, well, that's what they do in Europe, that's what they do in – by the way, there's a lot of those fifth and sixth and eighth graders that run off to play in these special – that don't make it, that not everybody's a star that leaves and goes off when they're 16 and 15 years old, including golfers. You know what I'm
sure.
saying?
I get it. Yeah,
it's not everybody makes it like that. So
I get it. I don't know.
It's just a hard one. It's a hard one to deal with. I think it's a hard one as a parent. I would have a hard time. I wouldn't have a hard time with my high schooler. I would say you're going to go play your senior year. I don't care how good you are. That would be it. Now, once you got to college and you're a kind of a grown up, but not quite a grown up, if you make a decision. And everybody in the world knows that you're an NFL player and you have a possibility of first or second round draft choice, then if you make that decision and you're 19 or 18 years old, I understand that. That's your business. But as a dad and a mom in high school, I'm going to say I would like for you to spend that last year with your teammates.
Well,
you need to do that in my mind.
Because I think it'll be a Now, what I don't know is what his relationship is with his coach. I don't know.
Yeah, I think there's got to be something more to
this. Is there more to it? The team's not very good, and he doesn't want to just be...
Well, that's even more I want your ass to stay.
Right.
The team's not very good. You're not going to quit on your team.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of...
But as
I'm
Zay
sure
said
he's a
this
fairly game. Important player
yeah,
to
I would
the football
think so, too.
Team.
But as Zay said, they can wear you out in the state of Texas as a running back. You can get worn out.
Well, I mean,
coach is not going to be afraid to try to get you 2,000 yards in.
But the coaches know it's 2021 too. The father, the parents can go to the coach. Say, look, he's going to play. We don't need to be 40 carries a game here. We're looking at his future too. I think that's an adult conversation that can be had.
That has to be an adult conversation because generally most coaches in the state of Texas will say, you're not telling me how to run my football team.
Well, I think even coaches,
that's what's
even the
happen.
Hard-nosed coaches are having to adjust.
They will. You're right.
To the modern times.
I agree. I would agree with that 100%. They will have to adjust how they talk to parents with a great player.
Yeah. But we'll see. That was a pretty surprising development. And again, I don't know the relationship. I don't know what the team is about. I know he's from the Klein area and down there. And that's a big, I mean, that's all 5, 6A schools.
For sure.
These are big schools. It's not like he's at a 2A school where he's the only guy and he's got to play both ways and he's carrying the ball every play. That's not the situation at a school like that. But we'll keep an eye on that. We'll try to learn more about that because that's something, you know,
it's
Jerry Hamilton or one of our great recruiting, Jeff Howe,
yeah.
Get one of our recruiting experts on. Also, speaking of golf and Phil Mickelson, did you know that there is a showdown coming among players in the PGA? A potential civil war is building? I can get you details on this before we get out of here. This is a pretty incredible story, fresh off the heels of Phil Mickelson doing what he did yesterday and seeing the energy around that performance. Also, we'll hand it off to Craig Way and Jeff Howe at the top of the hour for Light the Tower. Of course, Craig called the games over the weekend. You'll get all their perspective on everything that's gone on. It's part of a busy Monday here on B&E. And, of course, on the Horn, live, local, and digital. Streaming on your Horn app, on your smart speaker, and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Man, what a Monday. So much going on. I know you've got a busy day, Buck. You got to record your new, the latest podcast, Soccer Duh.
Whew, it was Soccer Duh yesterday.
Yeah, Austin FC lost to Nashville 1-0. Glenn Davis will have Soccer Matters tonight, 7 to 8. Our weekly visit with Glenn will have a deep dive look at what's up with Austin FC. No goals again.
Yeah, they're having trouble scoring right now. They don't have a lot of dynamic players. They play tough physical defense, but in order to gather points, you have to score. You can't keep going scoreless in games. So they'll have to do something. But you know what? Before it's all said and done here over the next couple of years, there will be stars that will come and play in Austin, Texas.
I think so. I think that's kind of the feel. Like everybody wants to be in Austin these days. And they mm-hmm. I think the
you're attracted.
I think the club is going to be do well financially because they've got great
right.
corporate sponsorship and partnership, and they're going to have sold-out stadiums. I have not seen a press release, but I was told that there's going to be an announcement this morning or today that Austin FC is going to plan on full capacity for their first game.
And that one will be sold out and numerous others. It'll be hard to get a ticket.
Yeah, June 19th. And then, of course, the women's national team plays a couple days before that
right.
at Q2 Stadium. And if you did watch the game last night, that was part of my channel surfing all the way into the evening. But the crowd in Nashville was great. I mean, that's kind of a glimpse of what you're going to see in Austin. They have a brand new arena.
Yes, it was gorgeous.
Stadium in which they play in, and their fans were fired up. And you said Nashville is undefeated, correct?
Yeah, but they have a bunch of like 0-0 games.
Oh.
I think that was their first win.
Nice. But yesterday. They haven't lost any games?
But they haven't lost any games.
What the hell's going on?
I know. I know. It was this is where fans that have this knock against soccer, this is where you have to understand as they're building, this franchise is building, you're going to see a lot of nil games, and you're going to, you know, they started off real hot, but now they're playing the meat. And when they play the meat, like this week when they play the Seattle Sounders, they are the best team in the MLS, and they've got, this is a veteran expand. This is not expand. This is a team that's been around for quite a while. So this team needs to pick it up, or they could come back here with just 2 wins and 6 losses. That's how good the teams that they'll play from this point on are. So that's why they needed that one. Losing 1-0 last night was, they needed that game last night.
Yeah, and they drop it 1-0 at Nashville. They're at Seattle this week, and of course, June 19th, their first debut in front of the home crowd, which will be packed. I mean, we know that I was told that the season ticket list now is at 21,000 for the waiting list to buy a season ticket.
I know, yes.
I mean, crazy. All right, so busy weekend. So remember when the just a couple of, a month ago or so ago, we had the story of the big soccer teams, international soccer teams, starting their own Super League. Remember that story with the Premier League teams and the teams in Europe forming a Super League and phasing out the smaller teams? Obviously, that fell apart. Did you know the same thing is happening in golf? That this is true. And here's a quote from Jay, the commissioner of the PGA Tour, Jay Moynihan. He was on the Golf Channel and addressed the prospect of golfers choosing between the PGA Tour and a new circuit, which has tentatively been called the Premier Golf League. He said, Monahan reiterated, any player who joins a startup tour will face immediate suspension and likely permanent expulsion from the PGA Tour. Now, this is all in response to a report that the Saudi Arabian-backed league has offered some of the biggest, the biggest names in golf, Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka, Justin Rose, Phil Mickelson, and when he's healthy, Tiger Woods, offered $30 million contracts to those players, guaranteed contracts, to get them to join this Super League.
Saudis have a lot of money, and they have a lot of really nice golf courses, and they love the game of golf there. Just like they do in China.
I mean, I'm assuming most players are going to, but these are independent contractors, and somebody's offering them $30 million guaranteed to play on this circuit.
I mean, take a look.
You're going to think about it. But if all, you know,
yes.
It sounds like the Royal and Ancient Club over, what is it, the British, whatever they're called on the European Tour. That's, they run the British Open, but the British, they're kind of falling in line that if kind of like they did in European soccer, in Premier League soccer, if you go here, you can't play in our league. Because I think the idea would be, sure, I'll play in that league, but then I'm going to come back and play in all these other tournaments.
Well, when you're talking about stars that are mega stars making 30, if you're just a guy who's struggling on a PGA Tour and they asked you for $12 million to come play, you're probably going to go, oh, okay.
But they're not going to ask the guy struggling on the tour.
Okay, well then.
You know, but that's the same thing as we had in soccer. It's, we want the best, and look, there's going to be part of a Dustin Johnson or Brooks Koepka that says,
no.
Look, they're coming to see me anyhow. They're not coming to see this guy over here. They're coming to see us, and so why don't we just have us? And they're going to give us $30 million, but I think it'll go, the fan report, the fans will not be for this.
No.
Which I can't imagine, but you know, keep an eye on that. I mean, it's out there.
Hey, maybe Phil at 57, they'll offer him a huge contract. These guys don't need money. It's not like they need money. Those guys have all kinds of money, you know?
Well, remember, the PGA has already announced their player impact program where they're going to be paying out extra money to the top 10 players on the money list just to essentially compete against this. Say, look, okay, we understand that you're drawing most of our fans. They're coming to see Phil. They're coming to see Tiger when he's healthy. They're coming to see the best players. And look, if you have a tournament where there's no big names, no one comes and no one turns on the TV. The money's coming from these guys.
And you have like numerous wives over there?
In Saudi?
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying the PGA Tour has come back with this community, this impact program to try to reward those players with profits, which they should share in. They should share in them.
6 wives, though?
In Saudi Arabia? That's not a place for females, I don't believe.
And you know, there's no 50-50 split, none of that stuff.
No.
Okay.
Cut your head off.
That's true. Can't mess around there.
Yeah. Hey, so have a wonderful Monday. Light the Tower is next. Buck, is it poker night tonight?
I don't know, man. That was a long day sitting on my R's yesterday.
Watching golf. Oh, get a nap. It's a nap day for sure if you can get one, if you have the time to do it. If not, work hard.
That's right.
Get all your stuff done. We'll talk to you again at 6 a.m. tomorrow. Have NBA playoffs to talk about. Also, big news from the Texas State Capitol with the name, image, and likeness law being approved likely today officially. We'll get you detail on that, how it impacts college athletics and particularly the Texas Longhorns. That'll all be part of a Tuesday edition of this program. Thank you to Dave Pels. Thank you to Rodney Rodriguez, our guests today. If you missed any part of the show, go back and check it out on the podcast at hornfm.com. Thanks to Isaiah Collier as well.